Turn with me to the portion of the scriptures we read together, Joshua chapter 23 and verse 8. But cleave unto the Lord your God as ye have done unto this day. For the Lord hath driven out from before you great nations and strong, but as for you, no man hath been able to stand before you unto this day. I want you simply to take this claim that is laid before the people to cleave to the Lord their God, to stick by Him, to stick to His teaching, to His ways, to the things that they've learned of Him and from Him. We could almost say that it applies to the Sunday school as they have come to the close of their session to stick to what they've been taught in this past year. To ourselves, we're all different, visitors and regular alike. We've all got different inputs, impressions, memories, knowledge. God has been good in giving us so many privileged things. And with that privilege comes responsibility, therefore, to cleave, to stick to the Lord. We all of us have to make choices. Some of them are relatively small and have little significance about them. Others are far-reaching and they can have a great influence, molding the whole of our life and perhaps even beyond our life. We go through from school days and subjects to be chosen in school. We go onwards to the job we want in life, to the person we're going to marry, to the place that we're going to live in. And on all of these decisions, there are tremendous consequences hanging and coming. It might be a little step, but we don't know where that little step will lead us. Genesis 13, Abraham and his nephew Lot were too populous for the land, therefore a decision had to be made, and Abraham told Lot, you choose. And Lot chose the great, good, fertile land round the cities of Sodom. It was only a little choice or a little step, but later on as you read the rest of Genesis, you find where it led him to. He was inside Sodom and he had to be rescued by Abraham. A little step with fearful, almost fatal spiritual consequences. Here, therefore, we have Joshua speaking to the people, and he is putting before them a great issue and challenge. Cleave to the Lord. Later on in chapter 24, he says, as for me, this is what I'm going to do. You now, choose this day who you will serve. He's coming to the end of his life. He's been at the helm and he's been leading the people of God for over 20 years, mainly in battle and conflict, entering into the land of promise. He took over the mantle that came from Moses, and he it was that brought them across the Jordan into the city of Jericho. He it was that led them through all the battles that are recorded in this book that is given his name. Age, fighting, leadership and responsibility have all taken their toll on Joshua. He's about to die. The land of promise has been, for the most part, occupied by them. He has divided the land up by lots, and he's giving it to each of the nations and to each family and tribe in the nation. There's a few left in different pockets throughout the land, but they're there for a purpose, to test the people of God constantly, that they would rely upon the Lord. Life is never plain sailing. Whatever level you're looking at, this one or our own one, there are always little tests, little things that the Lord sometimes quite deliberately leaves with us so that we might be always depending on and drawing from our Lord and our God. But now then, they're now coming to this final assembly. It's the end of session. It's the school assembly closing down. It's the Sunday school Friday night. It's the nations of Israel going outward their own way according to the land that's been given to them to possess it and to occupy it. And the responsibility comes upon Joshua to give the farewell speech and sermon. He's aware of the danger that they're going to face. He's aware of the weakness of the people. After all, he's been with them for 20 odd years. He knows them. There's a lot of problems still with them. There's a lot of Egypt still in them. They're committed, but they're not committed all that fully. He's concerned for them. He wants to confront them. And he wants them to set out in the best way possible. And therefore he tells them time and again, what's the best thing you can do as you're going to possess the land? What's the best word that he can give them? Cleave. Stick. Hold on to the Lord God. If you go back to chapter 22 and verse 5. Now, in chapter 22, let me just give a little bit of the history. Whenever they came across the Jordan, 2.5 tribes want you to stay on the other side of the Jordan. And they're given to us here, Reuben, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. They wanted to stay over there. And Joshua says, no, you're going to come across and you're going to help us fight the battles. And they says, very well, we'll come. We'll leave our young ones over there. We'll leave our families there. We'll come and fight. And when the battle's over, we're going back with them. So the time is for these 2.5 tribes to go. Joshua says to them, what can I give you? What advice? He says the same thing. Cleave, verse 5. Cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. So 2.5 tribes are going to cross Jordan. The rest are going to be split up and divided up. He gives the same message. He repeats the same theme. 24, 23, verse 8. Cleave unto the Lord your God. The last chapter is the address to the nations and to the people. And again he says exactly the same thing. When you get to verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. The same theme put in different words. He uses the situation to bring home to the people a great spiritual challenge. He's brought them to the place called Shechem, a place that is rich with spiritual memories. He is bringing them to a place where there will immediately be a flood of all the things that God has done for them down through the years, where they've renewed their vows, where they've met with God, where God has met with them and spoken with them. He's giving them his last words himself. The spiritual impression made upon these people. And as they think of that last situation and setting and the pulpit and the sermon are given by Joshua, what was the text that he gave to them? What was the thing that would be remembered when they went back to the land that was allocated to them? What was it that Joshua said to them? Every one of us here, the youngest to the oldest, the one word that we've got to remember is this word, cleave. Cleave. It's got a unique meaning. In English, it's the word that is the opposite of itself. To cleave means to stick. But also to cleave means to split. So remember it. Stick to the Lord. Hold on to Him. Every one of us here this morning. And what was it? And how was it that Joshua spoke, and what did he say to bring home, to reinforce this message to the people? He spoke to them, and he didn't give to them just a bald and a bare commandment. He didn't just say to them, cleave to the Lord, and that's it. 3 seconds and it's all over. He reinforced what he had to say with arguments. He brought in supporting words and testimonies. He spoke to them of the way God had been good to them. Just the same way as Paul does it in Romans chapter 12. There in chapter 12, Paul says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable service. Now, the word reasonable there means reasoning. It is, Paul says, it is the sacrifice of your mind. Think through what God has done for you. Think through His mercies and His grace in dealing with you. And when you think them through, the conclusion that you can come to is that you are His and you present yourself as a sacrifice, a living sacrifice to Him. What is it then, Paul, that Joshua says here? He first of all, he appeals to all of the things that have happened to them in the past. This place, heavy with spiritual meaning, Shechem. It was the place where Abraham, a resting place, the first testing place, rather, the first resting place for Abraham in the country. The promise was given to him in this very place. Later on, at the end of this book, the bones of Joseph are buried in this place. There, Joshua gathers together what God has done for them in their history. He speaks to them just the same way as, go back to Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 30. There you have the same kind of argument being used. Look at what God has done for you. He took you out of Egypt with a mighty hand, with a stretched out arm. Look at the way God has saved you, delivered you in Egypt. Look at the way God has led you and blessed you and kept you through the wilderness. You were a little band of people without an army to protect you. You weren't skilled in fighting. You were on the move always. You were so vulnerable. Any nation thought that it could just simply come along, scoop you up, or wipe you out. But it never happened to you. Because in the wilderness for these 40 years, God was on your side and God was protecting you and preserving you. Appealing to history. Going back over the story. And using every strand to support what he's saying. Stick by that God who has done so much for you. God has done great things. Here this morning, I can appeal to your memory. I can appeal to your life. I can lay hold of the things that God has been doing in you and to you. I cannot specify them, but I can draw your attention to them. And I can speak of the things that the Lord has done that you know about. The great teachings that God has given to you. The way in which He has been, perhaps in ways that nobody knows but yourself. The way in which God has been good and gracious to you. Paul knew about these things. When you think of the life that Paul lived, Paul was a man who was constantly on the go. He was constantly fighting. He was constantly preaching. He was constantly working. What's the explanation? What's the key to his life? Many different ways we could understand him, but Paul tells us himself that the love of God constrains him. The love of God grips him. That's why we're taking it with this theme this morning. Gripping, cleaving, holding on to. Well, Paul was held by the love of God. He knew God's great works. Of God's grace in sending Jesus Christ. Of the way in which Jesus Christ is the great physician for sinners. There was healing for the soul of the sinner in the hurting of the Son of God. And the way the gospel invites us to come with our guilt and our burdens of sin and to receive pardon and forgiveness on the basis of faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. God has truly done wonderful things. He has done wonderful things in this gospel that is in your hands right now. And on the basis of that gospel, there is this testimony comes not just to these people of old, but to us now. In the face of the good things that God has done, what is the only adequate response? The same one as is given to us here. Cleave. Hold on to. Stick by. Trust in such a great God. The testimony that he gives to them and the way in which he is deploying arguments in support of this challenge he leaves with them. But he doesn't stop there. He then goes on and he speaks in these chapters about Abraham. He's appealing to their family. God spoke to Abraham. And the reason why Abraham is brought out for them here is because Abraham did exactly what Joshua is asking them to do. He's a living example in the history of cleaving to the Lord God. Abraham was in amongst a land, a people of idolaters. He was amongst a nation of heathen that had no respect or regard for God, and God met with Abraham and spoke with him. And what did Abraham do? Abraham stuck to God. He went out where God's path led him. He made that commitment. And he followed the Lord. And that commitment is seen also in the example of Abraham, yes, of Isaac, of Jacob. It's seen down through their family history, through their family tree. You've got examples of people who showed this commitment. Just the same as we can. I don't know what your family tree is like. But I can appeal to it the same as I did a moment ago. And perhaps there's somebody there in your family history who has been a Christian. And they've shown this commitment. And they've stuck by the Lord. They've cleaved to the Lord. Just as Joshua spoke to them, so God speaks to you. To look back to that one, or more than one. Look back to the way in which that one person committed their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. The blessings they experienced. The hope that they had. The forgiveness they received. And what kind of a God is it that is before us and is speaking to us here this morning? It's a God who fought for them. When they were in the wilderness, we've already mentioned it. Let me just simply summarize it. They were there in the wilderness and he brought them through the wilderness. He brought them across the Jordan. He brought them through the experience of Jericho. He brought them into the land of promise where they fought hard battles, to be sure. But they fought and they won. A God who was faithful to them. Notice the way in which that's brought out in one of my favorite texts here in verse 14 of chapter 23. Here is this man, an old man, and you can imagine the power of this testimony because it's an old man speaking. He's been through life. The wrinkles are on his face, but there's a strength in his voice. Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. I'm going to die. But you know something. You know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. And all are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. The God that you're called to follow, they then, us now, the God that is before us here in the gospel, is a God who is faithful. The challenge that Joshua is putting down from his own life is simply this. Not one promise he made has fallen to the ground unfulfilled. Not one thing that he has spoken of to his people has been backed off. We have here a testimony to the reliability of God. He's a God we can trust. He's a God we can trust through thick and thin. And Joshua has been through thick and thin. There have been times when they've been in severe, tight circumstances. They've been in situations where their backs have been to the wall. They've been in situations where all the odds were against them. But God was for them. And God was faithful to them. And so he summarizes, he concludes his life, bringing this testimony to them. Not one thing has fallen, has failed. God says to us, I will be your God, and you will be my people. The promises that God has given then, now, the same God speaks to us now as then. A God who is faithful and worthy of our trust and our commitment. He will never leave. He will never forsake. Hebrews 13. I will never leave. I will never forsake. I will never disappoint his people. The arguments pile up. They're piled up for these people. They're piled up for us today. A God who has done good things. A God who has broken into our lives and the life of our families. A God who is faithful, dependable, reliable. We know what it's like to be let down by others round about us. Even the best commitments that we can give and make, we're not always able to deliver on the promises. But God is, and God does. I've quoted the example of one of these white panel vans that you see going around. And on the side of the van, it simply says, a promise is not a promise until it is delivered. A promise is not a promise until it is delivered. God delivers every promise that he makes. Therefore, Joshua says, cleave to that God. What does he mean by that? He means God at the very center of our life. The Lord Jesus Christ as the one whom we love and the one whom we follow with a total abandon. Holding nothing back. Absorbed by him. The man Caleb was a contemporary of Joshua. And the testimony that is given to us of Caleb was that he had another spirit. There was some different quality about Caleb from all the rest of the people. And it was this quality. Caleb filled himself with the Lord. That's what the Hebrew means literally. He filled himself with the Lord. He devoted himself wholly, entirely to God. It was a great, we talk about people today with an obsession. People have an obsession about closing doors, and you'll see them, and they lock them, and they'll close them, and they'll try the handle, and they keep on trying the handle. An obsession syndrome. Well, here we have a magnificent obsession. To be committed and to be totally captivated by God. Let me give one example before we move on. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 10, we have there a man called Eliezer. And he was fighting the Philistines, and he was fighting them all day. A sword was in his hand. And he was at it, fighting them constantly. Now, it's not a clean and tidy job. There would be blood, and there would be a lot of mess. And he was fighting constantly, and he had to have a good grip on that sword because it was the only weapon he had. He had no rest until the battle was over. And then when the battle was over, he tried to let go his sword. And when he opened his hand, or at least opened it partly, such was the grip that he had on the sword that it stuck to his hand. It stuck to his hand. That's the same word that is used here. Cleave to the Lord. Stick to the Lord in that way, through thick and thin. A God who is faithful, a God who is righteous. When doubts creep into your life, when there are distractions put around your feet, when you've got things coming into your mind or laid close to your hand, stick to the Lord. Hold on to the name of God. He is a rock. He is a tower. He is a fortress. There are so many different images painted in words for us. He is a shield. He is our defense. Hold on to a God faithful and true. Hold on to a God who has given great promises. And every one that you've tried and tested, it's like having a stick. And you're going to lean on it. Well, will it support my weight or not? And the first time you do it very tentatively. But the next time you do it, you do it a bit harder. And as you go on and you learn more and more, you lean more and more. And every promise of God that you've put your weight on, it has never let you down. And especially trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever there are spiritual battles over your sin, when there's a battle in your soul, when the devil is coming and raking over the ashes, going in the cupboard and looking for skeletons, when the devil is there trying to rob you of your joy or to make your life difficult, what's the one answer for all of these problems? Hold on to, cling to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus Christ has done for me. I'm holding on to it and I'm trusting in Him. And that's an answer the devil cannot fight against. Cling to the Lord. And then just to round out this chapter, very briefly in 2 minutes. Not only does Joshua gave to these people a great set of arguments. He builds them up wave after wave after wave. This is God. This is what He's done. This is your family history. This is the kind of God you've got. Wave after wave. Positive inducements, positive motivation, drawing them to trust in the Lord. But He doesn't stop with the positive. He then also brings the negative. And he says, just wait for a minute. Just wait a minute. Verse 13. Know for a certainty. If you're for a moment entertaining the thoughts, if you think for a moment, well, things won't go all that badly for me, even if I don't cleave to the Lord, even if I don't stick to the Lord, if I entertain little thoughts and fears, if I go my own way, it's not going to be all that bad, is it? Joshua says, know for a certainty, this is what it's going to be like. This is the path you're going on if you don't stick to the Lord, if you don't hold on to Him. This is what it's going to be like. You're going to be defeated. That's what he says. The Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations. God won't do it for you anymore. Not only will you be defeated, but you're going to find life is going to be uncomfortable because these nations are going to be snares and traps to you, scourges in your sides and thorns in your eyes. Life isn't comfortable, is it? The way that Joshua describes it. If you think that you can get off without making a commitment to the Lord, then be prepared for this kind of a lifestyle. You're going to be uncomfortable. Life isn't going to be easy, isn't going to be a bed of roses. The very things you've set so much store by, the things that you want, that's the very things so often that bring discomfort, unrest, make your life uneasy. And God says, it's going to happen. Life will not be victorious. Life will not be comfortable. And at the end, there will be this disgrace. The very last words of chapter 23, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land which he has given unto you. Imagine it. Imagine it. Here's a nation that have been brought out of Egypt, across the Jordan, into the land. God is on their side. And the shame and the disgrace that they won't inherit the land forever. In the midst of all of the good things God has given them, they perish. The disgrace. And the disgrace on a much grander, greater scale for us. When you think of the good things that God has given to us, the spiritual blessings and privileges, you think of all the things God has done for you. And at the end, on the day of judgment, at the end, what a disgrace. What a fearful sense of shame. All of these things almost in your hand. All of these things there before you on the table, spread out in the preaching of God's word. And they're all taken from you. The disgrace. There is one phrase in the New Testament that summarizes it so appropriately. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet he loses his soul? Here and now we are surrounded with the testimony of the Bible. The testimony of history. We're surrounded in our minds with a family album. We're confronted with Christian portraits. God's evidence to us in the past years. We're confronted with a God who is faithful and true to His words. We've been given solemn warnings of the consequences of disobedience. And all of that piles in behind this one word. All of it comes piling in behind this one challenge to us. Cleave. We're all going our own ways after this service, just the same way as they went in Joshua 23. They all go their own ways, back to the land allocated to them, back to our homes, our places. But the one thing that we've got to keep ringing in our ears, what Joshua says, what God says, cleave to the Lord. Stick by Him. Trust in Him, not only for life and all that it has for you, but especially for the salvation of your soul and for your destiny in eternity. Let us pray. Almighty Lord and God, Thou who art the gracious God, the living and the true God, down through the years. We draw near to Thee this morning, every one of us having the responsibility and privilege of hearing Thy word. So, Lord, may it ring in our ears and remain in our lives, even after the voice of man is silent. And by Thy grace, O God, may its lesson and its application remain with us and have an effect upon us. That every one of us, Lord, that we hear, might do as Thou hast said to us, that we might cleave, hold on to, and live for Thee. In Thy grace and by Thy power, Lord, bless us and do these things for us. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.